Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. My guest today is a classical musician who lives in Los Angeles. He's coming here to Chattanooga for the Cam Bush Lecture Series on May 9th. Robert Gupta became a violinist with the Los Angeles Philharmonic when he was only 19 years old. Gupta is not only a masterful musician, he's also an expert in neurobiology. He also founded a nonprofit called Street Symphony, which brings live classical music to marginalized populations. Robert Gupta, welcome to Around and About.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're playing violin with a major symphony, you're working on neurobiology, you've got this nonprofit that you founded. How do you find the time to do all this?
Well, I think that I recently got married, coming up on my first year anniversary, so I think all those other questions are framed within that larger life question. It feels as if these wonderful opportunities have, in a way, just come into my life, and there just happens to be time for them, and I just am so blessed to have so much meaning in my life from these opportunities.
And we're talking to you because you're going to be here in Chattanooga on May 9th. You're a speaker in the Cam Bush Lecture Series, and you are no stranger to giving lectures. You've given several TED Talks, those famous TED Talks about music and medicine. One of the TED Talks that you gave was called Music is Medicine, Music is Sanity. What does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, this was that first TED Talk was derived from an experience I had with a man named Nathaniel Ayers, and he was the subject of a book and a movie called The Soloist. And I became Nathaniel's friend, and I actually started working with him as his violin teacher. And I say that now, and I actually think in retrospect, I learned more from Nathaniel than I could have ever hoped to impart to him in terms of what was this palpable, deeply personal power of music. I think music is probably the most personal taste that we have, but we all have a taste in music. And what we enjoy in music, what makes those little hairs on the back of our spine, you know, on the back of our neck stand up, is this rush of dopamine that we feel when we listen to music that we love. And yet there is an application and a scientific impact, a physiological impact, to the way that music affects us that goes beyond simply aesthetic beauty. And that's what I learned in the hands of Nathaniel. For Nathaniel, music was his redemption and salvation. And as a man who was homeless because he suffers from paranoid schizophrenia and was poor and was black, he lived in a condition that no human being should experience, much less one of the most talented musicians I've ever come across in my life. And so Street Symphony was a journey to create a musical interface that was human acknowledgement through live, free classical music performances for people who were like Nathaniel, people who live now homeless in places like Skid Row and downtown Los Angeles. And just at the end of this month, we're performing our 48th and 49th concerts at the Los Angeles County Jail for an education-based incarceration program. So it's been quite a journey for me. And for me, very much, music is medicine, and music is this grounding into what it is that really matters in our lives. And for me, that's sanity.
I know that drug addiction, for example, can actually rewire the brain, can change those chemical pathways in a drug addict's brain. And it sounds like you're saying maybe music can do something similar, but in a beneficial way.
I believe so. There are a number of studies that indicate that. You know, for example, when we look at people who experience Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease, when they listen to music or they experience music, there is an amelioration of their affect. You know, for example, in Parkinson's patients, their gait steadies and the tremor steadies when they listen to music that they love. And even for us, you know, there was a recent study in Nature Neuroscience, and of course, us being quote-unquote normal people, but I think all of us have the sort of beginnings of whatever kind of neuroses that are out there. But when we listen to music that we love, there is this flare of dopamine, and that's what those little hairs in the back of your neck are. That's the rush of dopamine through your body. So there is a regulation of dopamine that does happen, and we just don't know yet. We're starting to explore whether this dopamine rush has an effect when we consider things like schizophrenia, which is also a dopamine imbalance, or depression. And I think that, you know, rooted in, again, very deeply personal experiences, when we're depressed and when we're alone and when we're feeling vulnerable, there's nothing more powerful than listening to music that we love.
Your undergraduate degree is in medicine. Were you planning on trying to combine medicine with music, or is this more just of a happy coincidence?
Well, I think it was more of my parents' dream that I would become a doctor. Ah. They really were insistent that I became the next famous Dr. Gupta, and I wanted to have nothing to do with that. And music was really my life and my passion since I was 4 years old. For me, growing up in a household that was unstable, that was at times very abusive, music was my refuge. And music was a way that I could have my own personal voice expressed when I didn't have words to describe what was happening to me. And it's very much the same thing. Music is the chance for me to feel vulnerable. I mean, to be safe and to tell my story. And it's been so powerful to share that story with people who have experienced unbelievable amounts of pain.
You joined the Los Angeles Philharmonic when you were only 19 years old, probably the youngest musician to ever do that. What was it like auditioning at the age of 19 for this major symphony?
It was really really a trip. You know, I thought that there was no way that I was going to win that job. It was just a wild dream. You know, after losing the job, I would come back and be a doctor like my parents wanted me to be, and this was my last shot. And you know, so an audition for a major symphony orchestra like that happens behind a screen. It's completely anonymous. None of the committee members know who you are. There's even a carpet laid down on the stage so that you can't assume the gender of the candidate from the sound that their feet make on the stage. And, you know, you play by yourself in Walt Disney Concert Hall for just for the room, basically. And it was my first experience like that. And I had studied with people who had led great orchestras before, and I sort of had an idea of what to do. But really, it was a chance for me to be fully me. And at the end of 4 days and four rounds of auditions, they called me back for a trial week. And I couldn't believe that this was happening. It is such a gift still.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Robert Gupta. He's a Los Angeles Philharmonic violinist, and he's going to be in Chattanooga on May 9th for the Cam Bush Lecture Series at Memorial. So your nonprofit Street Symphony is going around to these various places like homeless shelters in Los Angeles, and it's easy to see why you're passionate about this. How have you convinced other musicians to join with you and go to these places that normally don't see a lot of classical music performances?
You know, that's as much and as powerful a journey, I think, as the personal journey of going in myself. When we started Street Symphony, there were a number of like-minded colleagues of mine who said, you know, I'll make music anywhere. This is a chance for us to delve into what the true purpose and meaning and impact of music has always been. The reason that we make music is to share music. And of course, you know, the first time that I bring colleagues into the Los Angeles County Jail, they are nervous and shaky, and there's a lot of trepidation in going into these places. But the second that we start playing, and the second that we hear that unbelievable silence in the room, and every one of the men or the women that we play for just hanging on to every single note, there's a transformation that occurs, not only in the audience, but in the performers as well. And when we started Street Symphony, there was this feeling as if we're musical activists. You know, we're bringing music into a place and to play for people who would never have access to us. And now I feel very much that the opposite side of that scenario is as powerful, that these are individuals who we have chosen to ignore, who we have, you know, chosen not to interact with. And it is as important and as powerful for us as musicians, but as citizens first, to know the humanity that exists in places like Skid Row and in places like Twin Towers, and that these are real people who have real feelings and that can be acknowledged simply by showing up and making amazing music.
What are their reactions like? I understand that at one concert, some people walked out, but it wasn't because they were bored or offended or anything like that. It was just they were so overcome.
They were sobbing. Yeah, that was at the Patton State Hospital in San Bernardino, and I actually went there myself. And this has happened a number of times, but the most powerful one was at Patton. And, you know, I had checked in with the clinical psychiatrists after the concert. And I said, yeah, so what was going on? And they said, no, these people walked out because they were so overwhelmed. And in a sense, it was the not being comfortable with feeling that may have landed that individual in Patton at the first place. And everyone who's incarcerated at Patton is there because they've committed a violent crime due to a mental illness. And the response to street symphony concerts is overwhelming. We've had from any number of people. I remember one of our first concerts at the county jails, this gentleman stood up in the back of the room and said, you know, I have refused to participate in this education-based incarceration program for 6 months. I've refused to say a word. And this is a big guy. He was completely tatted up, was, you know, wearing this blue jumpsuit, and his eyes were completely bloodshot, and he was sobbing. And he said that this is the first time I have chosen to speak in this program, and the reason is because I wanted to thank you for coming. And I never thought that I would have to come to the county jail of Los Angeles to meet musicians like you. And, you know, since we started Street Symphony, we've now performed about 160 concerts since 2011. And as I think I mentioned before, we're coming up, you know, close to our 50th concert for the county jails. And now we have five different ensembles playing for Street Symphony in Los Angeles alone. And it's become this kind of this act of human service that's deeply grounding for us to remember why it is that we make music in the first place.
You'll be in Chattanooga on May 9th for the Cambush Lecture Series hosted by Memorial. Are you planning on doing any performing? Or are you just going to give a lecture while you're here?
Oh, I'm certainly going to be doing some playing. Yeah, I'm so looking forward. I understand that Memorial is christening a new wing, and it's very exciting. And, you know, it is such a joy to be coming to Chattanooga, because I really believe that the Chattanooga community gets it. They understand the power of the arts. It is such an artistically driven community and society, and you know, there's not any degree of having to sell this project going on. It's such a rich musical culture. And so, of course, it'll be such a delight to make music, and of course, at Memorial Hospital as well. And I really can't wait to be there. It's going to be such a blast.
Robert Gupta, thank you so much for talking with us. Do you have a website or anything?
Yes, you can visit www.streetsymphony.org to learn more about our organization.
Well, thank you. Looking forward to seeing you here in Chattanooga.
Very much looking forward. Thank you so much.